Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Before time had a name, there was a garden, a place where heaven and earth walked as one. This is the Echoes of Eden, where we rediscover ancient roots and awaken to our eternal purpose.
All right, guys, welcome back to the podcast. This week, we're going to talk about the power of words and speaking life into your family. I am joined again by my lovely bride, my wife, my best friend, my ride or die, everything over here. She's with me again. Say hello to everybody.
Hello.
So, I'll kick it off with a scripture probably everybody knows, but Proverbs 18:21 that says, "Your words are so powerful." This is the Passion Translation. "Your words are so powerful that they will kill or give life, and the talkative person will reap the consequences." Another translation basically says, you know, you had the tongue, you have the power of life and death in the tongue. Which, you know, speaks a lot of volumes when you really take that to heart. And it's, I had this episode planned for this week, and what a day to talk about the power of your words. Just because today has been a struggle day for me. I think with just being frustrated, and we'll just be transparent and vulnerable here, hopefully it helps somebody else, because I'm not perfect. I'm still working my way and allowing Holy Spirit to do whatever he needs to do in me, and allow the room for transformation to happen within. And I know I'm still in a journey and still in a process, got a long way to go. But saying all that to basically say, basically made both of my daughters feel like I hated them today. Just by my words. Well, I would say
more of your tone.
I would say words and tone, maybe. And it, you know, as a dad, as their dad, as your husband, we had to have that family conversation tonight. That's never what I want them to feel at all. And it just amazes me the conversation and how much Kaylin, our 10-year-old, can come back. And come back with so much wisdom.
And grace.
And grace. Like she, it's funny when you say that, she really lives up to her name, Pure Grace. Mm-hmm. And it was just, even when she told me, she says, "Daddy, I forgive you." She says, "I forgave you before you even said anything." Mm-hmm. And, you know, she recognizes we all have those moments. But I just found it interesting when I realized what we were doing this podcast on, that this was the day that I've had. I think we just have to be real and talk about these moments because we all have them.
Yeah.
But it's what you do. It's what you do with those moments.
Like the conversation at the end of the day to apologize and explain to your children, you know, hey, it's okay to have a bad day. We all have bad days. And, you know, I probably said some things that I shouldn't have, and I apologize, and that's not okay. It just gives them that vulnerable side to see, hey, it's okay to apologize. It's okay to, you know, mess up sometimes.
Yeah. And I don't know that if I'm being, again, if I'm just being vulnerable and real, I don't know that previous me would have done that. So I think it shows growth on my part for that.
Yeah. I don't remember you doing that a long time ago.
And not saying, you know, I'm sure somebody, well, you just did that so you could say that, but.
No, I think before, you just kind of expected everybody to apologize, or everybody to forgive you without having to, you know, apologize. You just chalk it up, well, I had a bad day.
And just chalk it up to that, and then you need to figure that out. I don't need to.
Yeah.
Address my attitude or my. Maybe something I said or whatever. Because I really don't even remember what I said to make them feel that way or what tone I had. But just knowing that as a dad, when that's what your kids feel like in that moment, and was your tone or an action that you took or a statement that you made that made them feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
That hurts.
Yeah.
And did I have to? No, I've had plenty of times where I've not done that, but I felt like that was the right thing to do, to be vulnerable and transparent for my kids to see daddy don't always get it right.
Yeah.
And
well, I think it makes them realize too, hey, it's okay to have a bad day or an off day every once in a while. It's a normal thing, you know, but it's not okay to make people feel bad just mm-hmm. because yeah. that you're having an off day. And, you know, so many times we think and look at our kids, you know, they have off days.
Yeah.
But yet we fuss at them for it.
Yeah.
And it's like, we can get up, we can have a bad day, we can go through the motions, apologize, and it's okay. But yet, the day that they have a bad day, we chalk it up to, oh, well, they're being disobedient, or they're being mad, or, you know, they're being bad or something like that. But it's like, we have double standards. Like, we're allowed to have bad days.
But they're not.
But they're not. And they have way bigger emotions at that age than we do at ours. So I mean,
they're still, which, you know, I know we're still figuring life out, but they're still in a point of at their young ages, they're still at a point of trying to figure out life. And it's like you said, I feel like, I think you pointed this out to me. I don't think I would have picked up on it without you saying it, but it's the fact that
get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Expect them not to have those. I mean, you're a kid. Why do you have a bad day? Well, because they're human too.
Well, and their bodies, they're trying to regulate all of their emotions, and they're not physically or mentally mature enough to do that yet.
Yeah. I mean, they're handling some of these emotions and stuff and trying to figure out what to do with these emotions, and what, you know, how, what is this feeling that I'm having, and how do I navigate it, and how do I express when I get upset? How do I express myself when I get angry? How do I express myself when I'm, how do I express myself when my feelings are hurt? How do I express myself when I'm sad? They don't know how to express their emotions.
Mm-mm.
I don't think we know how to express our emotions sometimes.
Yeah.
I don't think I know how to express my emotions sometimes.
Yeah.
So they're learning. I'm learning. You're learning. We're all learning. I think I've said this before. Our kids didn't come with manuals.
Mm-mm.
You know, you take Kaylin and Trinity, and Trinity is very big in her feelings and her emotions. Kaylin is not so much at the moment, although you can kind of see that preteen stuff starting. I don't know how that's... Whew, y'all pray. But you can see some of those emotions starting. And her taking... Which I guess she's always been that way. She takes more stuff to heart.
Yeah, she does.
But that's just why it's important to, as the parent, as the dad especially, one of the things I'm learning is how powerful your words are.
Mm-hmm.
Because especially being the head of the house, the words that I speak and the tone that I have, the attitude, I shape the atmosphere. I think, in my opinion, the father shapes more of the identity for the child. But then they also, as parents, we have to create the emotional safety.
Mm-hmm.
And culture in our home.
Right.
Which is, you know, this is stuff growing up you didn't hear about, or at least I didn't. But when you really start trying to be intentional with your parenting, and you feel like you are on this journey with the Holy Spirit, allowing her to do whatever she needs to do, as far as, in a sense where I feel like I'm at right now, the Holy Spirit's kind of, mothering in a way, given that, I don't know how you explain
like
that.
Nurturing.
Yes. Because I mean, and we'll talk about this. We've talked about this before, as far as just my personal journey. I'm on this this journey of, I would have said deconstruction before because that was the term everybody used, although I didn't think that was accurate. Bill Vanderbush did a post recent, I think this past week, that I shared. It's more reconstruction. But when you're doing a lot of that, the Holy Spirit has to kind of mother you, I feel like, in a sense. I know that can get me in trouble, but Holy Spirit can do either or, depends on what you need in that moment. And that's the same thing in the house. It's like I told Trinity earlier, sometimes when she has those big emotions, I don't know how to handle that. So I have to like lean on you.
Mm-hmm.
Because I struggle when she just starts crying over silly things. But it's still, I have to take those moments, and maybe not in the moment reflect, but later through the evening reflect what can I do differently? How can I set that tone? How can I speak? And one of the things, like, I like to tell them sometimes if I'm thinking about it and trying to be intentional with it, is that's not who you are. You're not a crybaby, essentially. Mm-hmm. Even with, and I think you told me there was more to the story, which you found out the next day, but when we thought she was lying when she came up here today, and I told her, you're not a liar. One of the things I try to tell my kids is when I hear them say, I'm sorry. No, you're not. That's not who you are. You're not sorry. I don't like hearing them express that. There's a difference between apologizing, but I don't want to hear them say, I'm sorry. Because you're not sorry. You're not a sorry kid. I want to kind of remove that language from them. Even today when Kaylin was in her room and I was fussing trying to get her to clean her own room, and one of the comments I heard her make that I addressed with her personally later was she made some kind of comment about how I suck at this. And I had to sit down with her. I said, you don't, that's not true. Like, you don't suck at stuff. I said, you're a very smart little girl. Mm-hmm. I said, this is your room. I said, you can do this. It may take more effort sometimes if you're not good at something. I said, but you don't suck at it. I don't want to hear you say stuff like that. But does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I'm just rambling a little bit, but does that make sense?
Yeah.
I just think we have to be intentional and really think and reflect about how much what we say and how we say it shapes the atmosphere in our home.
Mm-hmm.
It shapes the atmosphere in the home. It shapes your kids' identity. It shapes
their inner confidence.
Their inner confidence. It shapes, which this is kind of where I feel like I'm at personally now, is because Holy Spirit is taking me on this journey and I'm leaning into it, is I'm seeing the things that I missed before and how I made my kids feel in a previous season, and they're still in this struggle point of getting used to the new version, I guess, that you can quote it, of Dad.
Mm-hmm.
And learning that they can come to me when before I guess I really made them feel like they could not.
Yeah.
And then you have days like today where I feel like I've went backwards, and you have to address it, because I don't want them continually being afraid to come to me. I want them to come to me. And then, like I said, as a dad, you shape the culture of your home. What do you want the house to look like? These are questions you really, I don't know that, at least not for me, we you talk about this kind of stuff enough.
Mm-mm.
And I feel like we should be talking more about this as families, as men, as parents. What do you want your family culture to look like?
Like a vision, yeah.
Like, what's your vision for your family? We have a 10-year-old right now she has this grand plan that mommy and daddy are going to buy acreage somewhere, and they can her house will be here, her sister's house is over here, her brother's house will be over here, mommy and daddy's house. I mean, she's got this family compound thing
planned out,
and you know, I kind of like it.
Yeah,
like I can kind of envision that, to where they can have their own space, but yet we all can be together too. I'm kind of here for that, if that's what they want to do. But that goes back to, what culture do you create in your family?
Yeah.
Like, is this a, excuse me, is this a safe space for them? Am I a safe space? Are you a safe space that they can run to no matter what feelings they're juggling, whether it be the anger, the sadness, the hurt feelings, or excitement and being happy? are you a safe place that they can run to?
Mm-hmm.
And they know that there's no judgment, no condemnation, no guilt, no shame, none of that coming off of you toward them.
Mm-hmm. But also, are you listening, like really listening when they approach you? Because it's one thing if to be a safe space that they feel comfortable running to you. But do they feel heard once they get there?
Or are you playing on your phone, guilty?
Mm-hmm. Same.
But it's like, and I picked up on earlier when they was going to bed, Kaylin was trying to tell me something before you cut my hair. Kaylin was trying to tell me something, and I had my phone out just scrolling. And she said, no, are you listening? And so at that point, I realized, let me put my phone down because she really wants to tell me something. But that's, you know, maybe that's a good point, is are we listening to them?
Mm-hmm. Are we making them feel seen and heard and not just tolerated?
I mean, so you think about those as, and I guess it begs the question, how do you intentionally raise kids who feel safe to be fully themselves?
I think it's, you know, I think I've told you this before, but in one of my quiet times, you know, God has spoke to me, and we, a lot of times, are the limits for our kids. Like, a lot of times, we put limits and we speak things over them that we shouldn't. And, you know, one prime example was I had asked Kaylin to do something, and she, you know, which is what I would feel, she smarted off and was, in all reality, she was just asking a question.
Yeah.
But I automatically was like, don't be a smart aleck.
Yeah.
You know? And it hit me because she turned at me and she's like, well, what's that?
She had no idea what you're talking about.
And I'm like, she does this, you know, what we put on others because others, you know, treat us that way with disrespect and stuff sometimes, that we automatically put those limits and those names on our kids.
Yes.
And they don't mean it at all because they don't even know what it is.
Yeah.
And so then they hear mom and dad say, oh, well, they said this, I did this, and they said I was being a smart aleck. So then when someone else does that to them, now they know, hey, that's being smart. So they really don't understand what it means, but they know that we said that that's what it was.
So then they pick up on it somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. But in all reality, a lot of times our kids are truly just innocent, asking questions, and we just don't want to take the time to explain it. Or maybe we are in a hurry or in a mood ourselves, and we take it the wrong way.
And so you said that, and it made me think, as parents, we have to learn how to, and it's hard to do this in this, I feel like, in this day and time, but to slow down and not be so busy. And I don't know, I'm totally guilty of this, so I don't have the answer of what that looks like yet.
Right.
But being able to slow down and make sure they understand that you hear them, creating that space for them, and then slowing down to teach them in those critical moments so they can understand. You know, and it goes, I guess to me, it kind of goes back to the, when they mess up or whatever, it's important to, I feel like it's important to tell them, this is not who you are.
Like, and we're the ones that label them first.
Well, we are. And sometimes I speak for myself, but sometimes we label out of frustration. We label because we've had a bad day. We label because
our past hurts.
Our past hurts and stuff. And so we throw those labels at our kids, and then subconsciously, I think they start picking up on some of this.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they start allowing these thoughts that we've expressed begin to build their identity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we have to watch
our words and
watch our words. And you know, like I said, with Trinity, I struggle more. Trinity is very big in her feelings, and I don't know what to do with that a lot of times. That takes a lot more. Kaylin, on the other hand, acts just like me.
Yes.
That brings a whole other level of frustration, because I see a little mini me and I'm like, oh my Lord, is this me coming out, and how do I speak to a younger female version of me in this moment? And that's not always easy to do. But then you have, like I said, Trinity, who was very big in her feelings. And I'm like, I don't know.
Well,
how do you do that?
She's very big in her feelings, but she also correlates, you know, punishment with being bad and not loved.
Yes.
So you have to punish her in a way that it's explained very well, and you have to also reassure her,
yes,
while you're punishing her,
that you do love her,
that she is still loved, and it has nothing to do with how we feel about her. It's just that we are trying to teach her.
It's a difference between calling out identity and calling out behavior. Like, I see this behavior right now, but this behavior does not get to identify you.
Right.
So let me continue. So I'm going to address the behavior, but let me speak to your identity.
Mm-hmm.
That you are still loved, but this behavior is not acceptable. And this behavior, how can I say that? The behavior that you're displaying right now is out of character from who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And you know, and I know we've talked about this, and I think you've sent me videos or your Facebook reels on some of this stuff, but it even, to me, I guess, speaks to phrases that we should learn to eliminate. Now I'm talking this through out loud. But phrases to like, you always, or you never, or why can't you? Like, these are stuff that I use constantly,
mm-hmm,
that I need to correct.
And comparing them to each other.
Comparing them to each other. But like making the general phrase of, you always do this, or you never do what I ask. I'm horrible to use these, but I was reading some of this stuff for this podcast. But instead of saying that, you know, changing it to you're growing. Or that's not who you are.
Mm.
Instead of the, you always do this, you never do this. Because then it goes back to what you said a while ago, they start picking up on some of this stuff subconsciously, and it begins to identify them.
And they think, well, this is how I am.
Yep. And then you have a 10-year-old today saying, I suck at this. Well, that means somewhere along the line, she's picked up by words that I've said or whatever, that she actually sucks at doing whatever it was she said she sucked at.
Because she can never keep her room clean.
Yep. Which, you know, and I told you this recently, I said it must just be a kid thing.
It is.
I don't remember having those issues. I was very, still am very particular about where stuff goes, and I like a clean house or whatever, but I'm also learning.
Well, our kids are also very, very blessed.
They are extremely blessed. We are overly abundantly blessed. But I'm, you know, I'm 35. We've been married for 13 years. Is that right now? 12, 25? Yeah. 13 years. We got 3 kids. I am just now learning that it's okay if the house just looks livable. And I know that's horrible to say, but it's okay if the house looks livable. Like, someone lives here. Like, we have three kids.
It's,
we have
it's
a.
Lived in. It's I would lived, hope it's livable.
Shut up. You know what I mean. Lived in. This house looks lived in. This house looks like we have three kids. This house looks like we now have a almost a 1 year old who's now crawling and going everywhere. This house looks like you have a 1 year old who sits in his little playthings and throws toys in the floor and for no apparent reason. And snacks. And then smashes the snacks. And then that's what you have.
Yeah.
It looks like you have two little girls who, when they come in, shoes go off and then they get left there until I say, whose shoes are these? And is this where they go? Whose cup is this? Whose snack wrapper is this? But all this is just normal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And my job as dad is just to simply help them learn how to pick up after themselves.
Which is
kind of
crazy considering that you grew up with two siblings and I had none.
I know. I know.
I kind of thought you might would have figured that out before now.
But I guess it's just because my space was always organized.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have...
But that was also one room.
I understand this. Like, we don't have to call me out on the podcast.
I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
Listen, I work hard for my house to look like it's been struck by a tornado.
But, you know, and I have to remember, you homeschool. You're a caregiver. And now... You homeschool both girls, which Kaylin's getting a little bit on more independent. But then on top of that, you have a 1 year old who you're kind of at his beck and call.
Mm-hmm.
Like when he's upset, guess what? Mommy has to be there.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't understand and
he doesn't care.
He doesn't care. Like I am priority number one right now. Just like we had to pause this podcast because he woke up from his sleep and was getting fussy all over this. So a lot of this is just learning as you go. I do feel like, and you can correct me live and in person right here if you would like, but I do feel like I have grown in not getting as frustrated with the house.
Yeah.
It's, you know, there's days I'm like, let's clean the house up a little bit. I don't like it looking trashy, so to speak, but it's lived in. And if people don't like that, don't come visit. I don't know what to tell you.
Well, they must not like it because we won't get a lot of visitors.
Anyhow. Scroll through my notes here a little bit. That's what, you know, you think too, even when we discipline, you have to be conscious and how do you word discipline in ways that shapes their identity? And discipline in a way that reinforces who they are, but cancels out the behavior that you're disciplining for. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And, you know, how do you do that? Well, also understanding that's exactly what the Holy Spirit and what Papa does for us. I know we grew up with some of this notion, or at least I did, with there's times that he scolds you.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, that he, kind of like Damon Thompson, Jason Clark, always use the analogy of you have the good cop, bad cop. Jesus is the good cop. The Father's the bad cop. He's protecting you from the Father. This is kind of some of the thought processes I grew up with. Now I'm learning that not to be true and knowing that he does not come and scold you. And just as we don't want our kids coming to us and telling us how horrible they are, how worthless they are, he doesn't want that from us.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't sit there and scold us over a decision. It's more of like a nudge of, well, it's more of a nudge like, that's not who you are.
Mm-hmm. And that's not what you do.
That's not what you do. It's like, I believe, I got this from Damon Thompson, and this is what I believe, behavior follows identity. So he speaks more to, as far as I'm concerned, he speaks more to us about our identity of who we are in Christ and Christ in us. And the more he reinforces that, the behavior takes care of itself.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you turn that for your kids?
Well, I'm very thankful right now that our kids are actually really good kids.
They're very good kids.
Other than
most of the time,
trying to teach them how to get along with each other sometimes and respect boundaries. But, you know, it's just you talk them through it, because just like a teacher in a classroom, you know, you have these kids and you think that your kids should automatically know these things because, well, they live in the same house as you, which is obviously not a good reason. But,
yeah,
you know, that's a lot of times what we assume is like, I know this stuff, so you should know this stuff. But we are the ones that teach them these things. We can't, you know, depend on other people to teach them just so we don't have to.
Yeah.
Just because we don't want to deal with it. No, it's our responsibility. It's our job to, you know, make sure they know how to do things and why we do them. And, you know, in the end, it gives them confidence to, you know, because they just want to know why. A lot of times it's not them being disrespectful or being smart. It's,
they're asking questions.
They really want to know why. They just try to understand.
That's good. Another thing too, when you think about them, and here's a statement that just, well, kids learn their internal voice from their parents' external voice.
Hmm.
And if that don't make you as a parent stop and think about what you're saying out loud.
Yeah.
Not just, and okay, so not just to them, but even how you talk to yourself. And again, guilty as charged, how you talk to yourself,
mm-hmm,
in front of them.
Well, and it's like,
and I've made statements before, even in front of Kaylin, I'll do something and go, stupid. And Kaylin has corrected me,
mm-hmm,
saying, you're not stupid, Daddy.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like, we think a lot of times we, you know, the golden rule, treat others the way you want to be treated. But for some reason, that doesn't apply to our kids.
Good point.
You know, just because, what, they're kids?
That's a good point.
Like, do I want to be yelled at as an adult? Do I want to be, you know, shifted to the side and be shamed because I don't know something? No. So then what makes you think that kids want to feel that way?
It's, you know, it's one of those things too. I think growing up, there was this, for me, there was this mentality of, if you yell and scream, it shows authority and leadership. I mean, even, and I know I can get excited when I'm teaching or ministering. I don't think I've ever, like, hollered. I don't think I've ever been that type.
To what?
To, like, yell.
At the kids?
Like, when I'm ministering.
No.
I kind of just have this thing.
You get loud sometimes, but not.
More so kind of out of excitement.
Yeah, but not yelling.
But if you really think about that and think about Jesus, I don't think he yelled and screamed to assert leadership and authority.
No.
I think you have to learn to talk to your kids as little human beings.
Mm-hmm.
It goes back to what you said, would I want to be yelled at? Like, no.
Yeah, I mean, if you apply the golden rule to parenting.
And with even with Trinity, if you raise your voice,
she shuts down.
Yeah.
takes off running. Yeah.
That's not what she wants. It's not what she needs. And I think that's there's a lesson in that of, I mean, okay, even with me and you, we don't really yell at each other.
No.
We have had moments, but
we have a heated discussion.
We've had some heated discussions. And I wouldn't even say we've had those lately. If I really had to think about it. I'm trying to think. You're giving me some looks, so maybe we have.
I'm pretty sure we had one today.
Yes, but we... Anyhow, never mind. Before today, I think it's been a while.
Yeah.
But we don't yell. We talk to each other
We talk through it. Like, if we see an issue or something, we wait until it's just us, and then we talk it out, and I'm like, maybe you shouldn't, you know, like, you should have done this or shouldn't have done it this way. And you do the same to me. When I get frustrated or something, you're like, that was a bit much.
Yeah.
But
it should be the same way with the kids. Like, if we can talk to each other that way as partners,
you get a whole lot more out of them.
You get a whole much. if you yelled at me, like, I'm probably not going to have a whole lot of respect and want to listen to what you have to say. But if you treat me like a human being,
and
I think
respect.
The kids, and with respect, I think the kids feel the same way. To me, I guess it just goes back to what you say and how you say it, your delivery. Because you can say something nice but deliver it wrong and they won't receive it.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, it's like I've heard people also say, you know, I'm not explaining myself to a child.
But maybe you need to.
But you definitely need to.
And our kids are a perfect example of, I think they understand more than we give them credit for.
Oh, yes, they do. They're way too smart for my own good. But, I mean, you definitely need to explain to them things, because how do you expect them to handle things later on in life if they were never taught?
Yeah.
And they have to be able to understand, okay, mommy said this, why? Because of this.
Mm-hmm.
Mommy's doing this, why? Well, they need to know. Like, I don't mind explaining myself to anybody.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's all different kinds of parenting styles. And I'm not saying that, you know, either way is wrong. It's however you can reach your kids. But,
well, I think it's important to remember every child's different.
Mm-hmm.
And my belief is trust Holy Spirit and ask Holy Spirit to help you.
Right.
Parent your child.
Yeah.
I mean, they belong to Him first.
Exactly.
You know, and that may mean, and I think me and Ray has talked about this before, that may sometimes mean I need to walk away from a situation. I probably had some of those moments today and opportunities that I should have walked away, breathed, and then, you know, talked to you first and then come back to the situation. And I did not do that. I failed at that today. But, yeah. But it's okay to walk away and
take a breath
before you respond to whatever you name
it. And it's okay to tap out to your spouse every once in a while. You know, like, if you're struggling, having a bad day, be like, look, I'm gonna need you to step up today, because I'm not it.
I'm not it today. I think that's good right there. But
I don't know how. I mean, of course, we're supposed to be talking about our words and how they matter. I think we took a turn on parenting, but
we did. but. It is parenting.
And can relate to...
Parenting has a lot to do with words.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, I guess it goes to teaching.
That's the very beginning.
Teaching has a lot to do with words and tones and how you build... Because what are we doing in the family as the parents, as the dad? What are you... You're building a culture for your family. Well, that culture is going to be framed by what? Your words, your attitude, your tone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a bigger deal than we
realize. It becomes realize. Your legacy.
It goes back to what Proverbs 18 talks about. The power of life and death is in the tongue. You're either giving life to your children, you're giving life to your spouse, you're giving life to your home, or you're killing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's, like today for me, I feel like I killed a lot of things. But then at the end of the night, I had to suck it up, be a man, look at my kids, and say, you know what? I'm sorry. May both of you feel this way. That's not okay. And just, we move forward from there. And I think that's important as a family too, is having that grace to be able to say, hey, look, you had a day.
Mm-hmm. I apologize.
It's okay. You know, even with the kids, when they have that day, they have their bad day, is being able to look at them, like Kaylin said, even before they, if they don't ever say a thing about it, and just helping them understand, we forgive you a long time ago. Like that, I think, and this goes deep, I feel, as I say this out loud and think about it, my kids don't have to ask me to forgive them. I live in a state of forgiveness toward my children.
Mm.
And where does that come from? Because I was always taught, you got to ask God to forgive you every day. I mean, that's good to do, I guess. But also living from this point, I don't know that I want my kid asking me every day to forgive them. I forgive you because you're my child.
Mm.
I don't know how we got on this subject, but here we are.
Well, I think after a while, too, what they originally asked forgiveness for, eventually it doesn't become a thing that needs forgiveness anymore because it drops off.
Yeah.
Because they realize, hey, I have to apologize for this. Maybe I ought not do it anymore. You know, and then, you know, you move on, you grow from that.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the goal, and a lot of this stuff, to me, I guess, is you're trying to establish this family as a kingdom family. Like, I know I created the logo that says that, but now we're creating a culture where I want this to be a kingdom-focused family.
Mm-hmm.
To where at 8 and at 1 year old, he matters just as much as Kaylin at 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And Kaylin at 10 years old matters just as much as Aiden at 1 year old.
Mm-hmm.
And I want them both to believe that. You know, at times, even having a baby, your older one, especially the middle one too, can feel left out during times.
Mm-hmm.
But creating, though, that culture and helping them understand, hey, we see you. We hear you. We know you.
And include them.
Even on the simple things. And just understanding, you know, every word you speak as a parent plants a seed. You're speaking constantly, if you're being intentional about it, you're speaking to who your child is becoming.
Mm-hmm.
I like this one. I have this wrote down.
Children will become.
Yeah, and I wrote this down. Why your home should sound like your child's future and not their past.
Hmm.
Like, when they make mistakes, don't allow them to dwell on that mistake. Don't allow them to define themselves by that mistake. Help them to pick up the pieces and just move forward.
Right.
And, you know, and I have to think about Kaylin for a lot of this, because Kaylin, what I've seen over Kaylin the past few weeks is just mind-blowing. As far as her wisdom that she speaks,
mm-hmm.
her understanding of situations,
and her kindness.
And her kindness, her like she does, she expresses her emotions. She's expressing them more so lately that I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so much grace in everything that she does.
Yeah.
And it is what it is. You know, even when we left the church past couple of weeks and we talked to the kids about what happened, her understanding of what was happening and her wisdom to speak life back into us without knowing what she was doing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that at 10 years old I would be talking like she talked sometimes.
Mm-mm. I don't think I was.
I mean, it's just...
Know, but...
She... I don't know. Sometimes I wonder... Sometimes I ask myself, like, which one of us is the parent? Because... I mean, just like tonight, Daddy already forgives you before you said anything. We all have bad days. Like, for her to understand that and grapple that at 10 years old and be able to turn it and extend grace back to me as her dad.
You see, that's also, you know, when you teach them, it's okay to have bad days. This is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
He, you know, Daddy's just having a bad day today. Okay? And that's okay. We just keep trucking.
Mm-hmm.
But when you stop and you explain all of these scenarios as life comes in to your home, they understand and they react a whole lot better to it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we see out of Kaylin.
Yeah.
Because I try to take the time, and trust me, she has so many questions. But I try to take my time and explain. You know, and I know there's some days that, you know, I'm at my last question for the day. And I probably don't explain things as good, but I try my best every day to respond and answer her questions so that she understands, you know, what and why and, you know, the reason behind it and what we do with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we'll start wrapping up, but I think the last part, you know, I know I mentioned a while ago about the whole forgiveness thing. I don't want my kids running around constantly, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. Not what I'm looking for, but I want to also help them understand that there is repentance. There is a... there's time like tonight where I had to sit down and apologize, but that's also needed.
Mm-hmm.
In relationships and in family, to where, and one of the things I read today for this was about just modeling humility. You know, it should be normal to be able to come up and say, I was wrong. Because what are you trying to do in that moment? You're trying to reconcile what was there.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I just, okay, let's just be honest. If I just never did that and continued on the path that I was on before, what would our family look like? She just rolled her eyes for everybody who, you can't see what I see. That look right there has had it all. But biblical repentance, and I don't like that word, but it reestablishes connection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was not connected to my kids at all, I felt like today, until that moment when I sat down with them. Well, I can't say that because me and Kevin had a conversation earlier where I corrected that. But to sit down before you cut my hair and everything and have that conversation, I made them come sit in the living room and us sit down so I could explain to them. Not even really explain, just apologize for how I made them feel today. And to show them and display, this is how you reconcile. This is how you reestablish connection.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ever feel like I don't love you.
Right.
I messed up today. had a rough day mentally. You got the brunt end of that. That's not okay. I'm not excusing what I did, but this is where we're at. And then you build it from there.
Right.
It's not the same, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. It's not the same as constantly running around going, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me.
Mm-hmm.
But there are moments to where when you know you missed it, hey, I got this wrong. And I feel like me and you do that sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
A lot more now than we used to.
And sometimes, you know, in the moment, you apologize and it's more healing for you than it was for the ones that deserved it.
Yeah, because a lot of times, at least for me, a lot of times when someone apologizes to me, I'm like, I'm already over that anyhow. I didn't really. But you're right, it does more for you sometimes.
It's like your connection, you know, it heals that connection where you feel disconnected.
Yeah. And then what I want our kids understand, and why I don't like to hear them say I'm sorry, is because sorry doesn't really cut it. It's what you do. You've apologized. Now what? That means we don't continue in the behavior that caused the pain, that caused the hurt. Does that mean you're going to be perfect? No. Does that mean if that's where your struggle is, you might fail again? No. But learning how to deal with that in the moment and teaching them, hey, okay, let's use the kids as an example. You know, I didn't keep my room clean.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, it's okay. We forgive you. Maybe they keep it clean for 3 days. I'm giving them a lot of grace there.
Mm-hmm.
They keep it clean for 3 days and then mess up again. Okay, let's just move on. Like,
next time they make it 4 days.
Exactly.
Right.
Like, that's the kind of grace we have to have, especially with our kids, is understanding they're little human beings who's trying to figure out this thing called life in a chaotic world that it's more chaotic now than it was when we were younger.
Mm-hmm.
That just kind of is what it is. But to see, I guess as a parent, the bragging that we have, bragging right that I'm going to say we have, quote unquote, is to see their response in some of these things. I mean, even Trinity, even if you pay attention to Trinity, there's things that she does and says sometimes it's like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
She's one of those that shows you they understand a lot more than what you give credit for.
Yes, they do.
And if you separate Kaylin and Trinity, Trinity becomes much more older, I guess you could say, in moments.
Mature.
Mature. That's a
more
good word.
Mature.
Yeah. Much more mature. Trying to think if there's anything else I want to hit on. Okay, let's do this one. Because I think even our marriage in front of them helps speak life to them. I think, yes, showing affection to each other in front of them, mean stuff to them, that kind of thing. How has our language changed our marriage over the years?
I mean, you speak English now.
Excuse me?
You used to mumble a lot. You still do sometimes. I'm just kidding.
I have no words for you right now.
I feel like you communicate a little better, whereas before, you just didn't. You kept everything.
That was a struggle for me.
You kept everything inside. And it was like pulling nails out of, actually, what is rebar? It was like pulling rebar out of the ground, trying to get something out of you.
I've had to do that a couple of times. That gets fun.
Don't it,
though? Sometimes it's just easier to cut the rebar and move on.
But that's how it felt like, trying to get emotion or feelings and things out of you before. Now you actually come to me and, you know, you'll tell me things that bother you, or if I do something that upsets you or that you don't like, or that I said something and I didn't realize that what I said bothered you because it may not be what I meant, you know, you will tell me. Whereas before, you didn't really say a whole lot that I recall.
Okay.
Well, what about me?
The question was, how has her language changed our marriage over the years?
I know.
I would agree with what you just said.
Well, that was mostly about you.
Yeah, but you've always communicated to me, typically.
Oh, so mine's the same?
We communicate better.
Okay.
But you're all... Not to sexist anything, but you're female. You communicate better anyhow.
Well, I mean, okay.
I didn't never have to worry about where I stood with you. You would always make sure you told me. I, on the other hand...
And if not, my facial expressions
would. Exactly. If you don't speak, your face still shows it.
I have subtitles.
You do. Anyhow.
Isn't that closed caption?
Yes, it is. Well, I didn't finish it, but thanks. But I guess to end, I'm going to use a personal story for you that you told me.
Oh no!
Just to prove that I don't know that the power of words ever does not mean anything. So, like, the day that you went to your dad's and you come home and told me that your dad said that he's proud of you. Mm. And you told me, and I'll never forget the words that you said to me. You said, don't ever, ever doubt the words that you speak over your daughters. Don't have value, because at 35, I think you were 34 then.
Don't underestimate it.
Yeah, and at 34 years old, hearing your dad say, I'm proud of you, still spoke volume to you. Something about when a dad speaks that, it does something to you.
Yeah.
I think something that, maybe not just as a dad, but as a parent, when they speak that kind of word over you, it does something.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you know it's coming from a sincere place.
Yeah.
Now,
don't get it, you know, to where you don't want them going out looking for it other places to make them think that
exactly
other people, they need to seek approval and stuff from other people. But there's something about when your parent, you know, or your dad says, I'm proud of you.
When you think about, well, me thinking about two little girls, I want them to know that their dad affirms them already, so that the older they get, some boy come along and try to affirm them, that does not grab their attention because they already know.
Mm-hmm.
My dad tells me I'm beautiful. My dad tells me I'm a princess. My dad tells me that I'm smart. My dad tells me that I'm valuable. So there's nothing you can tell me that's going to get my attention.
Right.
Just my thoughts there.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's just a good note to end on, because talking about the power of words, that never goes away from the importance of that as a parent, being able to speak life back to your kids.
No matter how old they are.
No matter how old they are.
Yeah.
Because regardless, you're always that parent. You're always that mom or that dad. And you, in some ways, I guess you as the parent sets the tone for the relationship. Mm-hmm. What do you want that culture to look like? What do you want the future? Because, you know, we got plenty of time for it, but there's, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking at some point there are grandkids in the future. What does that future look like? What culture do I create now to help affirm not just my kids, but my grandkids?
Mm-hmm.
It's just a big deal when you think about it.
Yeah.
And why we have to be more intentional, why I have to be more intentional with things that I say and things that I do. We could go on hold for another hour probably talking about some of this, but mm-hmm. I'll let that just kind of sit there. And I think that's just a good note to end on. It never gets, don't ever feel like you're, I guess for the listener, whoever's listening to this, don't ever feel like your kids are too old for you to speak life into them. You're still their parent. And there's power in your tongue to speak life or death, blessing or cursing.
Mm-hmm.
You get to choose. You know, sometimes it just takes that apology to reconcile the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But it can't just be an apology. It's got to be action behind it too. If I just sat up here tonight and said, I'm sorry for what I've said or whatever.
But then never right back to being.
And just continue doing this every day and I just apologized every day. Eventually the apology becomes
obsolete.
Yeah. Like, don't even bother because you're just going to keep doing the same thing. Versus I had the day today, maybe I go 2 weeks and don't have a day like this. And then I have to apologize again. Well, then I go a month and don't have a day like this.
Mm-hmm.
Makes them more of a difference. Do you want to pray? No? You want to let me do it? Okay. Father, I just thank you. I thank you for anyone who's listening to this. If they've made it this far, I speak to their hearts and their minds. I guess, Holy Spirit, my first prayer for the listener would be that they would hear what you would say over them. That they would hear that you are proud of them. That they would hear that you love them more than anything. That they would hear and Holy Spirit just reveal to them how valuable that they are to you. As an individual, as a son or daughter of you. That they would feel their importance. That they would hear their importance out of your voice, that they would feel your embrace. And then they would be able to demonstrate that back to their children, back to their homes that they've created, back into their families, their spouse. And we just thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you again for doing this with me. I love you.
You're welcome. I love you too.
Okay.